to CGSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
On time. Right.
Welcome to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And, are you doing okay over there?
Just shifting my weight in my chair. Had to do an old man grunt. Sorry about that.
Yep. That was classic old man grunt. I was almost wondering if it was, your sciatica kicking in or...
No, I'm fine. Well, I'm fine in terms of joints and bones anyway.
Okay. Yes, I hear that you had a run to the hospital recently. Hope that's everything's going okay.
I'm tempted to say it's nothing serious, but I got let in on an emergency and then I got downgraded to urgent. So I got to skip the line and I'll be seeing a specialist in 2 weeks instead of 2 months.
Oh, well, but, I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, basically, I went into the doctor for a regular checkup, and she noticed that my pupils were completely different sizes. One was a pin, and the other was completely wide open. And she's like, she said, it looks like you're on two completely different drugs at the same time. And she's like, that's not how the brain works. You should go to the hospital. So it actually is not a problem with my brain. I know that because they scanned me. It's a problem with my eyes. So, but I've been having problems with my eyes for a long time. Anyone who knows me can tell just by looking at my face that I have a problem with my eyes. But whatever, we'll figure it out.
Well, we'll keep an eye. We'll keep an eye on your eyes, I suppose, as we move forward. All right. Well, it has been a busy week. It is Pride Month. I was actually just at the Pride Pub, it's called. It's the campus thing that is done here. Where we record our Heart House in Toronto. And it was great to meet with people. Lots of leaping up and down when the drag queens came on and performed. Everyone's very impressed, having a good time and just having fun. And I think that is the spirit that we want to make sure that we're holding on to. We have some good news to share on the world of gay news coming up soon, but as always, that is tempered by not very great news, so we'll try and balance.
I'm just fixated on the fact that you said the drag queens were leaping up and down. Were they on pogo sticks, or was it more like a sort of Mick Jagger vibes?
I'm going to go with more Mick Jagger. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No pogo sticks involved.
I think if a drag queen could do a pogo stick in heels, I think people would pay to see that.
I would pay $20 to see that.
Somewhere out there is a drag queen who's probably done that by now, though. There's a lot of drag queens out there.
$20 in this, and I have a pogo stick. Yeah, no, I like it. I think it can work. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, there is one person who is. We talked before about news stories where. It's just a big fuss over nothing. You know what I mean? It kind of media attention to create a cultural divide, and we're not interested in it. But I found what is truly a ridiculous example of that this week. We look at hundreds of news stories. Mm-hmm. And this one, I don't know if you saw it, but Justin Bieber's dad... has tweeted.
has sent a tweet. Okay, this is newsworthy. I am not aware of this story. I feel like this is either far too deep or far too shallow. It's one of those two, but it's not the depths at which I traditionally go in my news hunting. So tell me about Justin Bieber's dad.
Yeah, so Jeremy Bieber, that's his name.
Okay.
Because everybody needs to know what Jeremy Bieber, Justin Bieber's dad, says and thinks. Okay. You know what? Some random guy tweeting is not newsworthy. Some random guy tweeting, don't forget to thank a straight person this month for your existence during Pride, is, you know, maybe, like, I get it. I get where the attempt at humor is coming from, you know, but...
My mom's bisexual, dude. Like, it doesn't work for me. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's not going to work. I'm going to be a short conversation.
If he had a tweet about the nature of celebrity status, and he tweeted that 10 years ago when Justin Bieber was still a minor... I think that would have been highly relevant. But no, you're right. This is a much ado about not much.
Yeah. And this got, I want to say, 500 words on The Advocate and a few other papers, you know, and I think this is what happens. There are some genuine news stories out there and we're going to get to them in just a bit, but there are, you know, this outrage and this intrigue. And it's like, you know what? There really isn't that much going on here. You know, the fact that some guy tweeted, to thank the parents, you know, gay people, and to thank their parents. I'm like, okay, that sounds whatever.
There is a healthy message. You know, you should try to connect with your family. You should try to thank your parents. If you have a good connection with them, then you should maintain your good connection with them. If you don't have a good connection with your family, you know, it's never too late. Like, you could say also, like, that's more of a P flag message, though. That's not really a Justin Bieber's dad's message. You know, I think in there is something that could be said. Especially in open bracket current year, close bracket, in which more families are more accepting. But I don't know. I think it's just it was a misfire. I don't know. I like trying to fix it. You know, like when you see a bad movie and you're like, if they just did this and this and got rid of that character and trimmed 10 minutes out, it would have been fine. Like, how do you fix it? I think I'm doing that with this tweet. How do you take this tweet and fix it into something that is less dumb and more workable? Like, yeah, people, you should try to keep in contact with your family. They're the most likely to be there for you when things go wrong, so you should maintain your family relations. That's a good message, but this is not the way to. No, this is dumb. Yeah,
the way I see this is, this tweet was a small cigarette tossed out the window of a passing car. Like, it was a little bit of nothing.
But did that lit cigarette start a forest fire?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of oxygen being given to it. Like, that's kind of where I'm going here. It's like, and it is so unnecessary. So let's move on to some, you know, maybe actual gay news.
Actually, speaking of forest fires, I haven't seen major articles about this, but I have seen people talking about the potential of Pride events in Manhattan being canceled because of the Canadian forest fires are making the air quality there so bad. But nothing has been announced yet. I've only seen people talking that it is a possibility. It depends on which way the wind is blowing, literally, because if the wind blows in the right direction, then the smoke and ash will be cleared out and the sky won't be reddish brown anymore. So, I mean, that's a weird story for you about queer stuff. And it's a good segue, too. Lit cigarette. I'm into it.
Absolutely. Well, we are. The big news that recently happened is the. Oh, here we go. Here we go. The Minister for Women and Gender Equality Canada announced emergency funding that has been awarded to Fierté Canada Pride. Now, we're big fans of Fierté Canada Pride. They are the National Association of Pride Organizations. They, unlike several Pride organizations, seem to have their business together and operate. We've not come across large-scale allegations of fraud, such as major metropolitan area prides in Ontario that I may or may not mention. But, you know, they are very well... organized.
Yeah.
So my understanding of this is that earlier in the year, Fierté Canada Pride issued an urgent request to the Canadian government asking for emergency funding to the tune of $1.5 million for increased security across the country at Pride festivals and events in almost every province and territory. Like, it is widespread. Now, the Department of Women and Gender Equality Canada and one of their programs, let me get the name of their, I can't find the name of the program that did the actual funding. I'll find it in a second. Obviously, the minute I leave the room, it's going to be like, it was this program. Anyway, but they funded the 1.5 million, exactly what was requested, so that they can help Pride organizations cover new security costs because of really what's been escalating over the last 12 months. Mm-hmm. What I'll do is I'll quickly read a couple of quotes here, and then we'll dive right into the discussion. Marcy Ian, the Minister for Women and Gender Equality and Youth, says, "Now more than ever, as allies, as leaders, as parents, as friends, as Canadians, we need to wake up to the reality that 2SLGBTQI plus people are facing today. The government of Canada heard the community's concerns, and we are putting forward emergency funding that will go directly to Pride organizations to help them cover increased security costs and continue to host events that are not only safe for everyone, but also continue to celebrate the resilience of the community." And Julie Nubert Demarchi, the president of Fierté Canada Pride, said, "We are immensely grateful to the federal government for this vital funding to Fierté Canada Pride, empowering festivals and event organizations nationwide to combat the increasing prevalence of 2SLGBTQA plus hate. While this support is a crucial step to provide the country prepare for upcoming events in a collective fight against 2SLGBTQA plus hate." I will note that Ottawa Pride, or the Pride in the National Capital Region of Ottawa, received $50,000, which is going to go to new security above and beyond the security that was budgeted for based on last year, but additional security following a string of recent backlash, most recently in Ottawa. I don't know if you were aware of this, but huge protests outside of a school as one of the particularly anti-trans people came to visit town. It was a big protest. In fact, the Ottawa Police Service had to form bicycle barriers between the two sides of the protest. And I believe Joel Harden, the member of provincial parliament for Ottawa Centre, the NDP, I think someone punched him. So that was, it definitely got quite extreme during that event.
I did read about that. He there's a quote to the tune of, "If I need to take a punch in the face to defend trans rights, I'll take a punch in the face." It was something like that. I don't know, that there was something kind of I don't know if you remember Chrétien, but it's got that sort of like tongue in cheek, blunt kind of political attitude that I don't know. I kind of miss that. You know, getting boots on the ground kind of politician. But anyway, yeah, such a strange thing. There has been, it's weird to talk about this because there's so many stories that overlap because they're so similar. And I found ones in PEI, Newfoundland, New Brunswick, all across the GTA. For some reason, Central and Western Canada, a little bit thin on the ground for these. But protests happening mostly at schools, occasionally at libraries, about sort of the tension between the school boards, the parents, and the students with regards to especially gender and trans issues, but occasionally for sort of larger LGBTQ issues. But yeah, it is this sort of ongoing tension that's happening right now. I've seen a lot of people saying, you know, it's driven by what's happening in the States, but I don't know. It kind of denies the fact that Canada is its own country and we do our own thing.
Yeah, things have definitely been happening. Just to give a bit of increased detail, in Morden, Manitoba, where I believe they're actually celebrating Pride either this past weekend or this coming weekend, there were two Pride flags that were defaced and vandalized, as well as a church that was also vandalized in Morden. And I think the nearby town in southern Manitoba also was defaced and vandalized. I think it was Winklem, the city of Winklem, Manitoba, also had several issues happening. couple of hundred people showed up and marched and participated in the Pride. Winnipeg had their biggest Pride ever, with thousands of people participating in last weekend's Pride parade in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there seems to be this sort of growing violent tinge. You know, we talked a couple of years ago about the anti-gay protester who came, like, you know, there was like a traveling band of loonies from one end of the country to the other. And he struck somebody in the face with a helmet. Mm-hmm. You know, but that was somebody coming in from out of town. But now it seems every town, city, and village in this country, their people are turning unnecessarily violent in their expression of anti-LGBTQ sentiment. It is astonishing. In London, Ontario, the Wortley Village, there was a standoff between LGBTQ folks and protesters at one of their annual events. Yeah, it's grim. In London, Ontario, there was another story that emerged this past week. A fake flyer was being circulated that implied that the drag queens were accepting lap dances for children and tips. Now, that is absolutely outrageously untrue and designed only for one purpose, which is to incite a visceral response. Drag queens are not giving children lap dances. Like, it's categorically untrue, to the point that queer organizations in London, Ontario have had to issue all kinds of statements against this misinformation campaign in the city, and issue guidance for their drag queens to kind of follow up on that. But yeah, it's vitriolic, it's outrageous, and it's happening everywhere. So this added security, I think, is just it's outrageous, but it seems to be a necessary step to protect both the LGBT community and those who seem to be choosing to protest against it.
Mm-hmm. Seems to be, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. The only thing I could add to that is follow up on other similar stories. I mean, there's something in York region. There's something in Durham region in the GTA. There's a follow up from a story a couple weeks ago in New Brunswick where there was they introduced a new policy. Actually, not even a couple weeks ago. We're going to talk about this a couple months ago. There's a policy they're introducing in New Brunswick for their school boards to protect gender nonconforming and trans students more. And they walked it back a little bit, but not all the way. So the number of things they're guaranteeing has been limited, but the number of things they're encouraging is the same. But then what's the difference? Like, teachers can do whatever they want, basically, is what it's not really a policy. People are protesting that. The details. I mean, we could go into details. Do you want to talk about every single
one? Yeah, let's touch on the New Brunswick one just after the break. We're going to go to our first track, though. This is... let me just get the name of it here. Mm-hmm. It is Dance With You by The Happy Failure, and we will be back just after this. Hello and welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. That was Dance With You by The Happy Failure, and I am Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
Now, just before the break, you mentioned that we were discussing a whole bunch of things that are triggering protests up and down the country, mm-hmm. resulting in an emergency $1.5 million in funding to Fiera de Canada Pride, mm-hmm. so that the 65 Pride organizations from coast to coast to coast can have new and increased security to protect themselves and those choosing to protest. Now, as part of that, you mentioned the protests happening over in New Brunswick. Mm-hmm. Now, that relates to the new bill. I forget that I can't remember that. 713. Bill 713,
yeah.
Which was introduced by the Education and Early Childhood Development Minister, Bill Hogan. That one makes a couple of different changes to the educational thing, but the key one that sort of striked the most concern is the changes to policy 713, sexual orientation and gender identity. Now, previously to this bill, the policy said that teachers needed a student's informed consent before discussing the student's preferred pronouns or names with a parent, essentially to avoid outing a child to their parents. The teacher needed the consent of the child before revealing information about their gender identity or gender expression mm-hmm. to their parent. Mm-hmm. The change now requires parental consent for students under 16 to change their pronouns in New Brunswick schools. Right. So teachers are now not allowed, or under this new change, will not allowed to be to use their preferred names or pronouns that students identify with unless their parents have provided permission for them to do so.
Is it that they're not allowed or they're not required?
No, they would require the parental consent. So without the parental consent, they cannot use the pronouns and preferred names of the students.
So the teachers can't make up their own minds about... Like, that's not a policy, you know, that you can do whatever you want. But still, like, if they're under 16, then the teacher, if they get discovered that they're not using the pronouns or names, then that's all.
Yeah, no, just to clarify here.
Okay.
If a student who is born female, identifies as male, and wants to go by the name Steve, tells their teacher, after much thought and deliberation, I'm now he and called Steve, then the teacher currently would respect the wishes of that student.
Right.
Whereas now, the teacher will have to go, I'm sorry, Mary. I have to listen to, you know, I can't listen to her instructions. I have to wait for your parent to now tell me that you identify as he and Steve.
And they're not permitted, like they have to do that. They
have to
just...
wait for parental consent. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So a lot of organizations are pushing back against it, including Fiera de Canada Pride. They're calling for an immediate return to the former version of the policy, as well as an apology for what they've dubbed a Republican style campaign of fear and transphobia. Essentially, they're saying that this policy may well result in forcing trans and non-binary students back into the closet, that it removes the ability for them to use the space that they are in for 8 hours a day, every weekday, to express themselves without having to be out to their parents first and foremost.
Weird that they're calling it Republican and not Scandinavian.
Well, I think it was a nudge towards the rash of hundreds of anti-trans bills originating out of the United States from Republican-dominated houses, state and local.
Oh, I know, but Sweden, Norway, and Finland actually have stricter laws against it than the Republican states do. So, like... Florida is nothing compared to Sweden right now. Like they're reversing everything for under 18, and they're doing it at a national level. But I suppose that's a completely different story. There is, by the way, talking about completely different stories. There have been no protests at PEI at schools in PEI, but what there have been is rallies by parents and teachers in support of the currently existing laws and policies that are not going to be reversed. So there have been sort of a, in response to what's happening in Newfoundland, and there's a very similar story coming out of St. John's, as well as, again, the GTA. Parents and teachers in PEI have sort of gotten proactive and started rallying in support of the existing policies in sort of the various PEI school boards. So it's kind of a equal but opposite and more optimistic story. Sort of a small story, but still it pairs well. Like the right cheese with the right wine.
It does. I also wanted to mention that we forgot to mention it earlier, but we are keeping an eye on Delta, British Columbia, where black tar-like paint was thrown on the side of a church, particularly targeting their pride flags and other memorabilia that was up. You know, this is just small churches, small organizations, communities trying to express themselves, and people are... choosing to break the law to kind of protest against that. The other one I wanted to mention is in Cujuac, in really far north Quebec, just sort of really, you know, about as far north as you can get, and then keep going a little bit further. They've had about 100 people walk the streets of Cujuac as part of their Pride Parade. It is the largest Pride Parade in their history. With about 100. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't believe that Cujuac has a particularly big population. This is, it may have been every Tom, Dick, and Harry got out of their store that day to then take a walk before returning back to their daily business. It's not a very big town. It's got about 2,700 people. So, you know, wrangling 100 of them there, one out of every 27 humans in that town took a stroll at the same time.
Someone's got up.